And good morning, everybody. On Idiot One, it's Marilyn Morning. I'm Tom Hall, and now it's time for Living Questions, our monthly series in which we examine the role of religion in the public sphere. We're producing this series in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. Today, a conversation about inclusiveness in faith congregations. What does it mean for a place of worship to be open and welcoming? We'll examine that not just from a theological perspective, but also in light of the murders at a church in Charleston this year or shootings at mosques and synagogues in recent years. We'll look at the tensions that faith institutions face between openness and basic security in their buildings. Organized religion has more than a few reasons to feel insecure. A report about the changing landscape of religion in the United States, released a couple of months ago by the Pew Research Center, found that the number of Americans who describe themselves as unaffiliated with any religion has jumped nearly 7% in the last 7 years. My guests this morning are the dynamic leaders of two congregations in Baltimore that are bucking that trend and who have increased their membership in recent years. Rabbi Daniel Katzenberg has been the rabbi of Beth Am Congregation in Reservoir Hill since 2010. Reverend Andrew Foster Connors is the senior pastor at Brown Memorial Park Avenue Presbyterian Church, a position that he has held for the past 11 years. Good morning to you both. Good to see you.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
So, Andrew, let's talk a little bit about security. You guys are both, full disclosure, you guys are both my neighbors. Daniel, you and I live next door to each other, so I share a kitchen wall with you. And Andrew, the offices of the Baltimore Choral Arts Society have been housed in the office building of Brown Memorial Church for 34 years, so I share an office wall with you.
That's right. I can hear it when you put things away in your closet.
There you go. And I've got many things in my closet, which we'll talk about at a different time. But, you know, in light of the murders in Charleston, in light of, Nathan just telling us a report about an attack at a prayer service in Frederick, literally opening the building is a difficult complicated matter. Obviously, people come to the church, they come to Brown Memorial looking for the minister, looking for help, looking for counseling, looking for, you know, all sorts of things. But it's not just an easy call to just open the door. And talk about some of the issues that you faced in the building that affects all of us who are
here. Sure. Well, thanks for having us on today, Tom. I think that, as Christians, we're called to be an open community, to have our doors open and to meet anybody who comes through those doors. And at the same time, as you recognize, there have been incidents. We've actually had an incident ourselves in our building. So we have to kind of balance the need for people to be safe, but at the same time, recognize that the Christian community, safety isn't at the top of the list. Hospitality really is at the top of the list. And so we have to take on that risk as a part of our faith and walk together through the vulnerability that hospitality entails.
Yeah, of course, we had a guy come to the church, enter the building, be threatening to people on the staff. I mean, this is a real thing that happened right here in Baltimore. The Department of Homeland Security actually offers grants to congregations to upgrade their security. And there have been 970 recorded episodes of violence in the last 15 years in places of worship. So it's a complicated issue, isn't it? And something that happens all across the country.
Well, it's a complicated issue, but I also think that, from a faith perspective, we have to be careful within the Christian community about getting too obsessed with security and with fear. The whole, a big part of the message of the gospel is do not fear. A part of that is being reminded of who it is and what it is that saves us. And I think that when the Christian community, when we remind each other of that truth, then we walk fearlessly through some of these challenges, even when it puts us at risk, so that together we can continue to bear that message of fearlessness that is, I think, part of the joy of the gospel.
And Rabbi Daniel Katzenberg, at Beth Am, you all just had a very historic vote talking about inclusiveness, and this involves people who are not Jewish, interfaith families, and their status as members. Tell us about what that issue was and how it was decided by your congregation.
Yeah, that's right. We've just been through a really important process, I think, in the history of the congregation, where at the end of a series of conversations and ultimately a vote by the entire congregation on the bylaws of the synagogue, we decided to welcome interfaith families and couples as full member families at Beth Am.
And is this unusual for conservative congregation? Yours is a conservative congregation as opposed to a Reform or Orthodox, et cetera. Is this unusual nationally and locally here in Maryland?
Yeah, it is true. We're a conservative congregation, though I would say we're conservative to a point. We were unaffiliated for most of our existence. So part of this is about how we assess ourselves as a conservative shul. But a lot of this is how do we think of ourselves as a traditionally minded but also progressive, open congregation in general. This is something that I think is being addressed by conservative synagogues and other non-Orthodox synagogues around the country. Is how do we reconcile with the real demographic trends that exist and also really respond to individuals and couples and families who come to our doors and want to cast their lot with a synagogue, with the Jewish people?
The Pew poll that just came out in May said that more people are switching religions than ever before. More than 42% of folks who do affiliate have a different religion than they did in childhood. Andrew Foster Connors, you've been very involved with BILD, the Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development. Your organization called for the resignation of Anthony Batts, who was subsequently dismissed by the mayor. You've also called for the resignation of Gregory Thornton, the head of the city schools. You're politically involved as a minister. You lead a congregation. You're leading a group of socially active people. Daniel Katzenberg also been involved in a lot of social justice stuff. What happens when you espouse views in the political realm that are not consistent with some of the views of your congregants?
Well, let me just clarify. We did call for the resignation of Commissioner Batts. We did not call for the resignation of Dr. Thornton. We simply said that we believed he had lost some of the momentum that many of us had generated. So I do want to make that important distinction.
Thank you for that clarification.
But I think the whole philosophy behind BILD is that the community is stronger when we're together. And a lot of our work, actually all of our work, always begins with listening. We begin listening internally in our congregation, and then we listen out through our other institutions, and then even beyond those institutions into the community. So hopefully when we arrive at a decision like calling for the resignation of a police commissioner, which BILD has only done once in its 37-year history, there has been consistent listening, and we're moving together as an organization. So I think that's important, that people are on the same page, that those kind of relationships are intact and strong. But there are times when, BILD will do something as an organization that I'm currently serving as co-chair, where some of my congregants will feel differently. And there's also room for diversity and difference within that.
And Rabbi Berg, you're also very involved in the neighborhood. Beth Am is a very involved fundamental institution in the neighborhood of Reservoir Hill, which I certainly know from personal experience living across the street. You and Andrew, for example, were very involved in advocating for passage of the same-sex marriage legislation that was successful here in Maryland. And we should make a distinction. You will welcome an interfaith couple, interfaith family to your congregation. You support same-sex marriage, but you won't perform weddings of interfaith same-sex couples, right?
Well, I don't discriminate. I also won't perform weddings of different sex couples who are not of the same faith.
Right.
This isn't that. That's a particular of the conservative movement and conservative rabbis. For me, it's less about whether I officiate at weddings and more about our posture toward those who would like to affiliate. You know, in the past, it was all about how do we draw boundaries and defend those borders. And now it's about honoring, I think, what are really permeable or semi-permeable membranes. Identity is much more fluid these days. And we want to celebrate people who have made that choice to come to the congregation, whether it's a choice to raise their children Jewish or whether it's individuals who are of various demographics, LGBTQ members of the community, Jews of color, Jews by choice, and so on and so forth.
Nearly 40% of folks are marrying or are marrying religiously intermixed. Religious intermarriage is up 40% now. It's twice what it was in marriages that happened before 1960. So this is a trend, certainly. And in the Northeast, people who are calling themselves non-affiliated is up some 25%. So both of you guys have experienced huge increases in the memberships of your particular congregations. Andrew Foster Conners, how do you, to what do you attribute that? You're bucking a big trend.
Well, that's a great question. I think there are several things. Number one is that the marketplace of ideas that you just, I think, eloquently described is actually, from my perspective, a huge opportunity for the Christian faith because it resituates us back in the position of the early church when the church didn't first think of itself as allied with the powers and authorities that be, but thought of itself as a liberating message to take to the world. So I think when we think of ourselves that way and not rest on our laurels or our history or a lot of the institutional accoutrements that we've brought forward, I think there's real power in that. And the second thing I would say is that the open, welcoming community that you described, I think people are hungry for that. People who've grown up Christian are hungry for that. People who are looking for a deeper sense of spirituality are hungry for a community that embodies the kind of message that it speaks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we haven't been ashamed of hanging out the rainbow flag and some other things to say we welcome all. And I think people are attracted to that.
And Daniel Berg, a lot of people attribute the increase in the congregation at Bethlehem to your own personal charisma and your leadership. But it sounds to me like you're doing a pretty good job of walking that tightrope between inclusion and being welcome, but also, you know, adhering to the traditions of the faith.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much of this is me versus what was really in motion long before I arrived. We have the great benefit at Beth Am of being a dynamic, growing Jewish congregation in a majority African-American neighborhood. And what that has allowed us to do is to really double down on our larger community. And so what we try to do with Beth Am and also through a nonprofit that we launched about a year or so ago is to be both in and for the community, but also of the neighborhood. How do we see ourselves as simply a part of this neighborhood? And then what sort of alliances and mutual understanding can we build through that work? That's really what Beth Am is about. So it's about honoring both the particularity that we represent, the integrity of our own Jewish tradition, textual heritage, but also understanding that we exist in a larger framework as part of a bigger world, a bigger neighborhood, a bigger city of Baltimore.
All right. Well, it's great to have both of you in this morning. And of course, I will be seeing you around.
Thanks, Tom.
Good to have you both.
Thanks
here.
For having us.
The Reverend Andrew Foster Conners is the senior pastor of Brown Memorial Park Avenue Presbyterian Church in Bolton Hill. He's also the co-chair of BUILD, Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development. Rabbi Daniel Kotzenberg is the rabbi of Beth Am Congregation in Reservoir Hill. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. You've been listening to the latest installment in our series, Living Questions, produced by WIPR in partnership with the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies, examining the role of religion in the public sphere. You can hear this and other conversations in our Living Questions series when you visit our website, wipr.org/livingquestions. I'm Tom Hall. Lots more coming up on Maryland Morning. Stay with us.